You're tuned to 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we have David Rovix here in the station with us, as was previously announced. David's going to be with us this morning.
Hey.
Hello.
We're amplified in here, huh? As well as...
And it is live today, so this is Tuesday, July 23rd. Do you want to start with a song?
Shall we?
Today?
Or? Sure.
I understand.
Yep. La la la. We're live on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Doing a little sound check, see how everything checks out.
There.
Yeah? Well, last time I was in Santa Cruz, somebody, I can't remember who, said you should write a song about free radio, because they didn't think that Who Will Tell the People.
Yeah.
Was enough about that.
I'm sorry, we're going to shut the door. We're getting way too much background. Cars, and then we're gonna have the train coming by soon. That's good. Okay, sorry to interrupt you there, Dave.
No problem.
Just want to get a good recording of this.
Yeah. So I wrote this song for Santa Cruz Free Radio and all the others. This is how it started. It's not hard to understand. Coast to coast, they're lying at a CEO's command. From nationalist public radio, CNN and NBC, Big Brother spewing propaganda from the disinformation ministry. They say the economy is booming, we hear the homeless beggars' cries. They say we help poor countries, we see bombs falling from the skies. Reality doesn't exist, they're trying to say. But some of us decided there is another way. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. Someone got a transmitter, started up a station. Then the idea spread right across the nation. Like the land and water, the air must be free. So let us shout together, fuck the FCC. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. And we'll do it all together in a grassroots style, tearing down the fences throughout this whole square mile. It's the new town meeting, it's the way the news should be. The rulers call it chaos, we say it's democracy. When you turn on the radio and you've had it with this shit, from 88 to 107 makes you wanna have a fit. When you listen to the music and it's all the same pop song, start up a pirate station, 'cause that's where you belong. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard.
All right.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, that just about says it all there. So you've been on Free Radio Santa Cruz a number of times, right?
I'm happy to say so. It's a great place. Still exists. And, man, the programming's just kick-ass. I mean, when I'm staying here often at Bob's place, we're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz all the time. It's just on all the time, and I mean, the programming just rocks. I mean, all these great web streams, and yeah, Democracy Now! And web streaming, that No Border Camp, it's great.
It's funny.
How long have you been, how did you get into playing music?
Well, my parents are both musicians, so I grew up in a musical environment, playing classical music as a kid, and then it kind of developed into different musical interests later.
Are your parents politically active, or do they think of your politics?
They're progressive, thoughtful people, and my mother has been at times politically active. She's been kind of active with the Greens lately, and in the past with the Quakers, and I'm not sure if they agree with all my political perspectives, but they support what I do and are in general agreement with my politics.
Do they like your music?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've probably performed in front of them before. They've come to some of your performances.
Yeah, they come to gigs sometimes. Yeah. If I'm somewhere in the general vicinity of where they are, but they live in kind of weird little parts of Connecticut where I don't often have gigs, but...
Mm. But so you recently tried to go to Canada to perform in Kananaskis or around those protests?
I was going to be playing in Calgary, and I got turned away at that fucking border, yeah.
Why?
Well, they had me on a list, for one thing. And
can you explain that? I didn't understand. Maybe I'm clueless or something, but that seems really weird to me that they have lists.
Yeah.
How do they obtain these names?
I assume through intelligence agencies. And this was, I thought it was in the news at some point that, you know, that more Canadian and U.S. intelligence agencies would be providing information to the authorities about who they suspected to be, dangerous.
So you were on that list.
I was on that list, and this has been happening in Europe too. They've been turning people away at the borders, and
it's happening in Europe too.
Yeah, Europe is like borderless, except when there's a protest, and then all of a sudden the borders come up around the country where the protests are happening in, and whole busloads of people get turned away on the suspicion that they might throw a brick or something.
Did you ask them why you were on the list and why they considered you dangerous? What was their explanation?
I didn't ask them why I was on the list.
It's a flag song. That must have been it.
Yeah.
Flag song. Flag maybe. Desecration rag.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an honor to be on their list. I mean, all I do is sing songs. You know, I've not ever committed a violent crime. I haven't been arrested. Well, I have been arrested, but it was years ago, and it was for nonviolent crimes. And so, there's no reason why they would why they should consider to be dangerous. You know, I had a well-functioning vehicle. I had enough money. There's just nothing that they should be worried about. They also found literature in my truck advocating direct action. And it was the combination of having me on the list and the literature advocating direct action. The words direct action was what they focused on, which to them meant, killing cops or something.
To you, what does that mean?
A whole wide variety of things, very much including nonviolent civil disobedience, which is hallmark of any democratic society, to allow for dissent and to assume people are innocent until proven guilty. And I mean, they had how many thousands of cops and troops in Calgary, and they're really worried about a few people who might be throwing bricks. I mean, it's obviously a much more insidious agenda here, which is to suppress dissent and try to create a false atmosphere of consensus around their whole globalization program.
Throwing a brick and having a pamphlet or a leaflet on the idea of direct action is two completely different things.
Exactly.
Too. So,
that's what I was trying to tell him. It's freedom of speech, and just because I have stuff in my truck about Osama bin Laden, it doesn't mean I'm going to get ready to go destroy any buildings in New York City,
Right.
I'm interested in what the guy thinks about, because, I think any sensible person would be.
You want to understand.
Yeah, I want to understand. I have stuff on Muhammad Atta, I have stuff on Hitler. I mean, it doesn't mean I'm a fascist or an Islamist.
Matter of fact, are you Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, by lineage, yeah, my dad is. So, yeah.
So, you've gotten some flack for the fact that you wrote a couple of songs about Palestine and Israel and the conflict there, and haven't you been under attack for that as well?
Yeah, I was sort of, you know, I like to say banned from Israel, but not really. I mean, that's not by the government, but what was to be my second tour of Israel was canceled by everybody where I was having gigs. I mean, I had 10 gigs set up to do this tour of Israel, and then 8 of the 10 people wrote me and called me neo-Nazi, self-loathing Jew, fascist, whatever. And one of them wrote and said, "I understand your sentiments. I don't like the fact that our army is shooting children in the head with live ammunition either. But I don't think you should come play here because I can't guarantee your safety or having an audience." And then one of the 10 wrote me and said, "Nice song. I look forward to hearing it. You know, I'm also, you know, active against the occupation." And interesting to me.
Quite
anyway,
a spectrum there.
Yeah, quite a spectrum, although a definite majority of people who agreed with the government line. But the one guy who was the most progressive of the bunch, it was interesting to note when I was there also that, you know, he's a religious Jew and a 2-time war veteran. But, you know, yeah.
He was most supportive?
Yeah, he was most supportive of me and yeah.
So, maybe you could play a song that you were going to play in Calgary, except you were turned away. Wasn't part of the reason you were turned away because of the lyrics of your songs? That's what I heard. I don't know. Is that inaccurate?
I mean, they did say that the stuff on my website and the CDs, titles of the songs made me suspect as well.
Oh, okay.
They didn't specifically say anything about lyrics that I recall.
Essentially, they were censoring you, though, because of the content of your music, the content.
I think it's fair to say that. That certainly played a role. They specifically said that played a role. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So maybe we could hear a song
that
you were going to play in Calgary, and maybe also the one on Palestine and Israel that you would probably have performed in Israel if you'd been touring there.
Just did they confiscate anything, like your CDs or any stuff? I'm just curious.
No, they photocopied hundreds of pages of stuff.
Oh,
and
okay.
And they accidentally, and I'm sure it was actually accidental, they accidentally kept one of my notebooks and mailed it back to me.
Oh,
and they were very, very polite. And
getting some fingerprints off of it, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. They kept on apologizing that, you know, Canada is really not a police state. We're just kind of acting like it this week, you know. You know, you're free to come back, you know, when the protests are over.
Yeah.
When it doesn't matter anymore.
That's interesting, because when I tried to get into Canada a couple of years ago, they wouldn't let me in. Because years and years and years and years ago, when I had been, you know, I think 19, I'd had a petty misdemeanor. They wouldn't let me in.
Oh,
so this
man.
Was way before September 11th.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
That was my
experience.
They
didn't like your looks. Usually they just wave you in, but
they found some Mumia Abu Jamal flyers in the vehicle. That might have something to do with it.
That could very well have. Yeah. They don't like those cop killers. Let's I'll do this song. We'll debut this song if somebody can hold the lyrics for me.
Oh.
Because it's about getting turned away at the border in Calgary, since we're on that subject, and I got a other song about the massacre in Janine. No, it's just that one page.
Okay. I'll try to hold this still.
That's great. It was on one summer evening when I sallied forth, headed up to Calgary on the road up north. The leaders of the free world were meeting to decide the planet's fate. So there were some things I wanted to mention to this group of 8. I went up to the border and was greeted with a smile, until they looked my name up and showed to me my file. The guard said that freedom Canadians hold dear, but it says right on this paper that we don't want your kind around here. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you miss. Now it is
official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow, 'cause I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. They said I had no record of crimes that they could find, but their data told them that I might have some in mind. They copied all my papers, searched all around my truck, took my picture and informed me that I was out of luck. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow, 'cause I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. Well, I'm no Emma Goldman or Commandante Che, but someone up in Ottawa said that I should be turned away. So it leaves me wondering, what have I done wrong? Perhaps it is a crime I committed in a song. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow, 'cause I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now.
I would have rather gotten across the border than having to write that song, but it was going to be a great scene. Did y'all go?
No. There was some coverage of it here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, though. I think V-Man did put some stuff on from there.
I heard some
And
very,
he did some interviews, actually, with some people in the street there on the big day. I think there was one main day that the stuff went down.
This guy, Roberto, who was, I think it was also in Europe, and he travels around and calls in free radio and gives us updates on what's going on in the streets.
Your
on
own
the cell
traveling
phone.
Reporter, yeah, right on.
Yeah, he had reported previously, I think, from Quebec, I think.
Great.
Pretty sure.
I heard from some very annoying reports that it was the most fun protest that some people have ever been to. That's not what I wanted to hear, but you know, I'm glad somebody had fun there, but it wasn't me.
So do you want to follow that with a song? You said you have a recent one on the conflict in Israel and Palestine.
After the massacre in Jenin.
Now, a lot of people have taken issue with that description of what happened in
Ridiculously
Jenin.
Ridiculously enough, it seems.
My understanding, and I've gone to the human rights groups' websites, such as Human Rights Watch. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if people want to read reports on what happened in Jenin, they can check out Human Rights Watch's website at hrw.org. Amnesty International and Bet Salim also have done quite a bit on their website on this. And Bet Salim is an Israeli human rights group, and their website is BETSELEM.org. Bet Salim. In any case,
they're really good too. They get in a lot of trouble. They're self-loathing Jews, of course, like me.
Well, on the Human Rights Watch website, they did some extensive research into what happened in Jenin and found that at least 24 civilians had been killed,
like shot in the head. And I think I heard that happened to a bunch of people.
There was a lot of description and detail, and if people want to read it, they can. One man was in a wheelchair. He was gunned down and then run over by a tank. He had a white flag attached to his wheelchair that a friend had attached to it to protect him, and it didn't. There was a disabled man inside a home who died because they demolished the home on top of him. They wouldn't allow the family who was desperately trying to get him out of the house to get him out. Anyway, Human Rights Watch document on their website all of this, and they explain how they came to these conclusions, what types of information that they use. So people can read it at hrw.org. But one thing that Robert Fisk, who is an award-winning British journalist and who we just went to see in Palo Alto speak recently.
He rocks.
He discussed, he's a Middle East correspondent for the London Independent, and he mentioned that a short while after many people had taken issue with the use of the word massacre to describe what happened in Jenin, there was a murder in a settlement, which I'm sure people heard about, where some people broke into a settler's home and brutally murdered a family, and it's a horrendous thing and should be condemned. But the Israeli press and some politicians described that as a massacre, and he quoted one person who had stated, now I know what a massacre really is, and he also quoted some headlines to that effect. So they described the murder of a family as a massacre, but not 24, 25 civilians.
Yeah, I think there's basically a 1 to 100 ratio. If you kill 100 Palestinians, or maybe 200, that would probably qualify as a massacre. But two Israelis, that's a massacre right there. I mean, we got definitions of the massacre here. I mean, they've been arguing about what the definition of a massacre is. Well, let's look back at, what words get invented, right? As time goes on and, words get invented. And we've been using the term massacre to describe the Boston Massacre in 1760s or 1770, whatever that was. And I think that was only like 5 people who were killed by British troops, and that was a massacre. So there we go.
And that description is in history textbooks.
Yeah, it's a well-accepted definition of massacre. At Kent State, 4 people were killed, right? That's a massacre,
And probably one I'm not sure if this would be a direct definition, but I'm sure a lot of people relate the idea of a massacre to indiscriminate killing of civilians. And Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, B'Tselem, all found that occurred not only in Jenin, but in Nablus and in Ramallah and Bethlehem, and occurred all around the invasions that were going on in the West Bank and in Gaza, indiscriminate and excessive use of force by the Israeli military against a civilian population.
Yep.
So you have a song about what happened in Jenin.
Child, what will you remember when you recall your 16th year? The horrid sound of helicopter gunships, the rumble of the tanks as they drew near. As you watched, as the world went about its business, and I burned another tank of gasoline, Dow Jones lost a couple points that day while you were crying in the city of Jenin. Did they even give your parents warning before they blew the windows out with shells? While you hid inside the high school basement, amidst the ringing of church bells, as you watched your teacher crumple by the doorway, and in England they were toasting to the Queen, you were so far from the thoughts of so many huddled in the city of Jenin. Were you thinking of the taunting of the soldiers, or of the shit they smeared upon the walls? Were you thinking of your cousin after torture, or Tel Aviv and its glittering shopping malls?
When the fat men in their mansions say that you don't want peace, did you wonder what they mean? As you sat inside the stench amidst the darkness in the shattered city of Janine. What went through your mind on that day at the sight of your mother's vacant eyes as she lay still among the rubble beneath the blue Middle Eastern skies? As you stood upon this bulldozed building beside the settlements and their hills so green, as your tears gave way to grim determination amidst the ruins of the city of Janine. And why should anybody wonder, as you stepped on board the crowded bus across the green line and you reached inside your jacket for the cord, were you thinking of your neighbor's buried bodies as you made the stage for this scene, as you set off the explosives that were strapped around your waist? Were you thinking of the city of Janine?
Thanks.
Thank you.
There was a suicide bombing right after Janine. I believe it was a woman from Janine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it was actually, I think as I was writing that song, there was a suicide bombing taking place. Like by coincidence, I found out about it like just after I wrote the song when I went back into a building and looked at the news and they were showing the scene.
We have a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller?
Yeah. I was just wondering, I heard this morning on the BBC that, I wasn't sure if you mentioned this or not, or if you heard about it yet, but there was a missile attack in Gaza City. I don't know if it happened this morning or last night. I think it was today, is what they said. But anyway, Israeli Defense Forces fired a missile into a house of the Hamas leader in Gaza City and blew up his house. They also blew up some houses around it, and they killed a bunch of civilians, too. I don't know how many, but I know 9 children were killed. Anyway, the U.S. government has used some really strong language to condemn the attack, saying that Israel had been heavy-handed. The U.S. response to this missile attack was to say that they condemned it as being heavy-handed. But of course there's no suggestion of anything more being done about it.
You're not calling it a
anyway,
massacre.
Just wondering if you heard about that yet, because I just heard about it this morning.
I haven't seen the news today, but it's consistent with what Israel's been doing since a year ago now. Missile attacks against Palestinian homes and indiscriminate killings of civilians in order to supposedly get one person who they may or may not succeed in getting. Yeah.
By the way, the UN Human Rights Commission also condemned it and said that it's illegal to kill civilians regardless of who the military target is that they're trying to hit or whatever. So there's some international response to her and somebody else. I don't remember who it was. But anyway, I think that just happened today. So I thought I'd call in.
It's amazing. If it were apartheid South Africa doing this in Soweto, there would be such an international condemnation and sanctions against South Africa as there was, who's sanctioning Israel other than, not even in the Arab countries anymore, but...
South Africa wasn't as much of a strategic interest for the U.S. In the kind of ways that Israel is, which is why I think that's the answer to that question, but... As far as South Africa, that didn't start, the sanctions and all that didn't start happening for quite a while.
Yeah, not for a long time, yeah.
Thanks for your call.
Sure. Thanks.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. The number here is 427-3772 if you have any thoughts, questions for David, or requests, for that matter, for songs, which maybe we should hear another one.
Sure.
Since we did bring you in here to perform.
Sure.
Partly to talk, but...
Hey.
Another phone call. Okay.
You're on the air.
Yep, I know.
Can't hear you.
I was wanting to actually request something and also ask a question.
Are you a fan?
Yes, I'm a fan. I'm also a fish, so I could be called a fin.
A fish fin.
Okay.
But one way or another, I was wondering, at the risk of a gratuitous self-plug, you guys had heard my radio show last week. I was reading this something on A-Infos that was written by one of the people who was involved in the absolute destruction of Jenin. He was driving one of the bulldozers that were crushing people inside their houses. That really struck me, the absolute remorselessness and actual vindictiveness that this fellow had when he was describing his actions. And going to say for David or for you guys, if you didn't hear that or hadn't gotten a chance to check that out, there's something on A-Infos about it. I think it was posted last Thursday. It's even more shocking, and it takes a little bit to shock me these days. But I was also going to request that eventually during the show that David play the Polyamory song.
Sure.
Cool, thanks.
Thanks for the request.
Yep.
The comment.
All right. I'll see y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
This is turning into more of a commentary by programmers than David himself, but I'm going to just make one more comment of my own, and that is that strong words from the U.S. government not backed by action is pretty meaningless, because we give them $4 billion a year, the state of Israel, and we also supply them with the Apache and Black Hawk helicopters, the tanks, and the F-16 fighter jets that they use to conduct these operations. So we're giving them the weaponry, and we're giving them billions of dollars a year, and then we're saying, oh, you know, don't do that. But we're not going to back it up with any action.
Is that another phone call?
Do we have another caller?
You're on the air.
Yes, you have another caller.
Can't hear you.
As I'm listening to you, nice show, by the way.
Hey, speak up, please.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
All right. I said nice show. A lot of thoughts are going through my head as I listen to all this, and... I guess the one that keeps coming back is, ain't religion wonderful?
Depends on the religion, I guess.
Well, I'm referring to religion in a generic sense here.
Yeah, I think actually, I think it's a really important point to make that that the media and various forces, government forces, the U.S., et cetera, tries to paint the conflict in the Middle East as a religious conflict, but especially the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. I really, in spite of the fact that, you know, people involved with the conflict try to, you know, emphasize the religious aspects, it's not a religious conflict. It's a conflict between an occupying force of Europeans predominantly and indigenous people who are driven off their land. It's no more a religious conflict than the occupation of North America is a religious conflict between whites and Native Americans, although there are different religions represented there as well. The conflict in Northern Ireland is another example. That's not a religious conflict. It's a conflict between an occupying group of more privileged people who happen to be mostly Protestant and an oppressed group of people who happen to be mostly Catholic. And many of the people involved in these conflicts will be the first to say, especially the people on the short end of the stick, that this is not a religious conflict. They have nothing in particular against Jews or Protestants or Christians or whoever they're being oppressed by. They just have a problem with having all their land taken, getting shot at.
And if the occupations came to an end, it could do a lot towards ending the conflict.
Yeah,
because it's about land and resources, like water, which Israel controls almost all of.
Jews and Muslims have a very long history of getting along just fine. Christians and Muslims have a long history of not getting along very well. But, you know, this is a Jewish-Muslim conflict, supposedly, you know. But
as you say, they have a long history of getting along.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yep.
You're right. I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that everything would be fine if without religion, but it does seem to make things that much more difficult to deal with, because if you've got your favorite book telling you that everything you do is fine and everything your opposition does is horrible, it makes it kind of rough to find common ground. And in particular, I might add, fundamentalist religions, and that's pretty much what we're talking about, seem to all have this imperative to overbreed. In other words, be fruitful and multiply. Just about every religion has their version of that imperative. If you'll consider that in about 1948, when Israel came into existence, there were approximately one-fifth as many Palestinians at that time as there is now. And I think the Israeli population has multiplied in a pretty similar fashion.
Well, mostly from immigration, I believe, because they have the highest immigration rate in the world. A Jew anywhere in the world can immigrate to Israel.
Right, right. No,
but not one refugee can return to Palestinians.
Immigration in places is the primary factor in population growth. You're quite right, and consequently, it has to be dealt with. If we're going to resolve the fact that a given place is becoming overpopulated with the human species.
Do you have a...
Which brings us to the next point, and that is, you know, there's a lot of other species that are suffering here, too, but all we hear about is the humans.
Uh-huh. So do you want David to play a song along those lines, or do you have a question you want to get a response to, or...
No, I basically just wanted to say what I said. And,
okay.
Dave, you kind of remind me of early folk singers that I heard long ago, and that's a compliment. So I wish you well.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. We had a request about, I don't know, 5 minutes ago now for a song, polyamory song, which is kind of funny because then we have the following caller complaining about population explosion, which certainly is a concern. I don't mean to diminish that, and I'm not saying at all that people have to reproduce when they
just
have sex.
You know, have lots of sex and in respectful ways with as many partners as you want to, and use birth control.
All right. You want to play the song?
I heard a woman talking, and to me what she said just made sense. She was lamenting the state of affairs, how some people can be so dense. She said she had three wonderful children, two girls and their little brother, and nobody gave her problems for loving each child as much as the other. But they'll say you are badder, perhaps you are madder, at least you should stay undercover. Your mind must be bare if you would dare to think you can love more than one lover. I like Italian espresso, but I also dig French wine. And now and then that BC bud leaves me feeling fine. I like to get a buzz sometimes, I like sobriety. Most people understand this, they also like variety. But they'll say you are better, perhaps you are madder, at least you should stay undercover. Your mind must be bare if you would dare to think you can love more than one lover. Each one of the four seasons leaves me feeling good. Sitting in the shade in summer, in the winter chopping wood. Sometimes I like cloudy days, but I also dig the sun. And I don't think I'm crazy for having so much fun. But they'll say you are better, perhaps
you are mad, or at least you should stay undercover. Your mind must be bare if you would dare to think you can love more than one lover. They'll say you are bad, or perhaps you are mad, or at least you should stay undercover. Your mind must be bare if you would dare to think you can love more than one lover.
All right. That's a great song. Whoa. We're having little mic problems here. I just don't move that around. It'll be all right. There.
Mm-hmm. Find the right position.
I had a request. I don't know if you, I've heard you play it live, but it's called If I Die Tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
Really?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Good. I love that song. That would have to be one of my very favorites. We do have a phone call, though. Should we take this phone call? What do you guys
sure.
think? All right. You're on the air?
Yeah, I called a few minutes ago.
Okay, could you make it short? Because we're limited on time here.
Yeah, real short. The point that I was making, I feel like it just kind of blew over, as it almost always does. And I want to leave you with this. If the population of Israel and the disputed territories was what it was 50 years ago, I think the problem would be a hell of a lot easier to fix right now. And I think you guys really ought to be dealing with that, too. I mean, that should be on the agenda. And I think, you know, just ignoring that because it's politically incorrect isn't going to help. So that's my comment. Thank you.
I'm okay. Not ignoring it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for your comment. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, population is certainly relevant, and that's why the government of Israel has been encouraging massive population increase of the Israeli population, you know, in order to create more and more pressure for expansion. And it's a very conscious strategy on their part. And in terms of the increase of the Palestinian population, I'm not at all sure about those statistics about how many Palestinians there were in 1948. There's a lot of dispute over that. I don't think there were any reliable censuses at that time. And some people want to minimize whatever the population was at the time. Others want to make it seem like it was bigger. But it's also a well-known fact that anywhere around the world, when you take away from people their means of their social network, their ability to have some kind of a community survival system, like after colonialism in India is a classic example, the population dramatically increases because people have kids in order to have their kids take care of them when they're old, because there's no semblance of a social security network. And that's happens all over the place.
We do have a quick call coming in. Looks like we're getting the calls today, boy.
Quick.
Never get the calls here at Free Radio. Hello, you're on the air. Oh, wait a minute. Let me put you up first. Can you speak up?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I don't know whether you guys have
is a this
show or a call-in show or what is it?
Is this Phil Free?
This is Phil Free.
Phil.
Hey,
Phil.
Long time no see.
How's it going?
couple things really quick. Polyamory has nothing to do with overpopulation. I've been doing it for 10 years. You know, not leaving kids everywhere. Religion doesn't necessarily have anything to do with overpopulation either. Some religions, even old fertility religions, have nothing to do with overpopulating, being fruitful and multiplying, nothing like that. But that's still not the reason I called. Real quick question. Hopefully it's not a stupid question. Does this mean David Rovics is not going to be on the Beautiful World show at 11 o'clock? Bob.
What?
It's a question for you, Bob.
For me.
I'll stick around.
I just want to know because I got to figure out something else to do.
11 sure. This morning? It's 11 now. Where are you?
Oh,
11
p.m.
Oh, that might not work.
Yeah, I was asked about that earlier, and I thought that was happening. So that's cool. I just got to find something to do.
Maybe we can leave that tentative.
But can I hear? I don't even remember what I wanted. The flag is just a rag.
Oh, sure.
You haven't played it.
I got a couple of new songs about flags I could do too.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
let's
I want to request
some new
the
stuff.
New song about. Flags, because I've never heard it.
Oh, great.
I want to change my request, and then I'll hang up and get out of your way.
Thank
Bye.
You, sir. See you later, I hope.
Blessed be.
All right. There we go.
Well, let's see what we can get away with before the next programmer comes in. This is a true story told to me by a friend from Brighton, England. Tell you a story, I swear it's true. true. It was a sunny afternoon, September 10th, 2001. We were minding our business, having fun, hanging out on the coast of Greece, a long way from the belly of the beast. We were drinking and talking and things were good, living it up as best we could. Then a yacht so big it blocked the sky entered the view of our collective eye. It was ostentatious beyond description. It made old Greek ladies have conniptions. And as this bloated behemoth trundled past, we got a square view of the mast. And at the top 10 meters high was a sight to make the village cry. An American flag of such massive girth, it seemed to take up half the earth. Now maybe it had to do with the dictatorship, but the Greeks among us began to flip. We were women and men of various stations, an international delegation, and all of us there on the sand knew this situation couldn't stand. As the yacht set down its anchor and sat there like some oil tanker, we drank and talked and talked and drank. The sun went down and then it sank. By midnight, we'd reached a solution, how to deal with this air pollution. We thought we'd swim out and we'd check if there was a staircase to the deck. Well, we stripped down and swam out there, and sure enough, there were the stairs. And then a Libyan student named Osama took the lead role in the drama. He climbed the stairs and then the flagpole. It was a sight to feed a weary soul. Hanging naked with us beneath, he bit the flag off with his teeth. Flag in hand, he jumped down. We dragged the flag back into town. A small victory, one may note. Just a flag upon a boat. Revolution it was not, but one more rich prat in his yacht might think twice before he set sail with a flag the size of a fucking whale. And our reward for this little caper? A year's supply of toilet paper.
David Rovics here in studio. Go to www.davidrovics.com.
And most of these songs and many more are available for free download. Do whatever you want with them. They're copylefted.
Copylefted. Probably this show will be going up on the net, too, at some point. Wow, this is great. Again, David Rovics is playing tonight at the Resource Center for Nonviolence at 8 o'clock, 509 Broadway. Did you want to?
You had a request.
That's right.
Did you forget?
If I die tomorrow, maybe in a speeding car, you know I like to travel with my notebook and guitar. But there's too many cars out there, not enough train tracks. I tried flapping my wings, but I just can't get the knack. Don't talk to me of accidents in this great democracy. America will be the death of me. If I die tomorrow, my body blown apart by some child with a shotgun, raging fire in his heart. Killed in some concrete jungle war zone by some kid who never learned to write. Raised by desperation and surviving the long night in the wrong place at the wrong time in this land of opportunity. America will be the death of me. If I die tomorrow, pipe bomb beneath my seat, or from drowning in the bathtub, choking on a piece of meat, you can rest assured I did not mean to slip upon the grass. It was no cop that I knew who rammed the plunger up my ass. It's just that I was told to speak freely. America will be the death of me. Thank you. give pause to the coroner who may say that I died of natural cause. Lungs black from breathing city air, cancer coursing through my veins. I'll be glowing in the dark from the radiation rain. So here's a toast to Uncle Sam and to mortality and to America, which will be the death of me.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
96.3 FM Free Radio Santa Cruz with David Rovics. And again, your website's davidrovics.com. People can get music there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have other stuff as well.
Yeah.
Do you have time for a couple more?
Oh,
you
sure.
Said,
I think
okay.
So.
How about some from your new CD, Living in These Times?
Or I could do some ones that aren't even on any CD yet.
That sounds good.
Should we do that?
Okay.
Did you have a request?
I really like Who Will Tell the People.
Mm-hmm.
I also really like International Terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
that one I haven't been doing enough to remember. But Who Will Tell the People I could do.
Maybe that one got you in trouble.
That could have been
that
the one.
Could have been International Terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get in. I'm just kidding.
It's funny when you were singing the last song, you said. You made a reference to trains, and right at that time, the train was going
train
by outside, and I was trying to shut the window so that it wouldn't come over, but then I realized maybe I should have let
maybe
it.
Maybe should have, yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
So how about Who Will Tell the People from your new latest CD, Living in These Times?
CIA is pushing crack in the ghettos of LA, while the food crops in Colombia get sprayed by the DEA. The FBI is reading your email with something called the carnivore, while the rich are getting richer and the poor are staying poor. They're launching nuclear-powered ships up into space. One little accident could wipe out half the human race. They're putting radioactive waste into your silverware, or maybe your toaster, or perhaps your wheelchair. The Air Force is bombing Iraq every other day. They don't like the government, so the children have to pay. And the ozone hole is growing, the sheep are going blind, while the U.S. spends more on arms than the rest of the world combined. Journalists are getting fired from San Jose to Atlanta when they write about reality, not a fluff piece for Fanta. A death threat every week, and sometimes life is short when the truth is too dangerous for someone to report. Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? The cancer rate is skyrocketing, though people are smoking less. If you live near a nuke, your life is bound to be a mess. Clean water's almost gone all over the earth, and what's left they want to privatize and see how much it's worth. Chevron is gunning down the students of Nigeria, turning the land to waste while the babies die of diphtheria. And the weather's getting hotter, the world's forests are on fire. Pretty soon Brazil will be one raging funeral pyre. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? adult Americans cannot read or write, and their children go to bed hungry every night. 2 million U.S. citizens are rotting behind bars, and while they're there, they're working hard, building parts for cars. The army's running torture schools to keep the earth under control, and they're relocating Navajos so they can mine some extra coal. Our taxes pay McDonald's to sell tumors in Shanghai, while 100,000 poison vets are just about to die. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? Wherever you may go, and this is the single biggest fact they don't want you to know. From New Delhi to New Mexico, there are battles going on, and the darkest hour is just before the dawn. In Berkeley and New York, they're raiding radio stations, trying to turn the voice of the people into the voice of the corporations. Will we seize the airwaves, wipe the sweat off of our brow, stand and face the beast and shout democracy now? Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? That we're living in these times. That we're living in these times.
David Robix performing live here at 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz. Who Will Tell the People? It's the name of the song from Living in These Times, your latest CD. And I guess the answer to that is us. And that's what Pirate
right.
Radio is all about.
That's right.
Which makes me wonder, are you going to be on any other radio stations in Santa Cruz while you're here?
I'll be doing a pre-recorded thing at KZSC, and that'll be broadcast on Friday.
Mm. What time?
Sure not sure what time on Friday it'll be broadcast, though.
People could probably call KZSC and find out, huh?
Yeah.
And when you are, in the past you've been on other stations, correct?
Mm-hmm.
KKUP, KZU, I think.
Yeah. That's yeah.
When you're on...
Yeah, I've been on Democracy Now! A few times.
When you're on the other stations here in Santa Cruz, do you perform political stuff, or do they ask you to stay away from that kind of thing?
Oh, no, of course I do.
That's good.
No, I would never stay away from it.
So you mentioned that you have some songs that aren't on any CDs. And
oh, sure.
You know, just so you know, we can wrap up anytime you want here, but I don't
think my ride might come eventually, but he doesn't seem to be knocking down the door, so I think it's all right.
Okay.
I was looking at this one.
Yeah.
This one about by the time they nuked DC, is that a new one?
Yeah. Yeah. These are all new ones. And then there's I got about, I guess since the last CD, I got about 18 new ones.
Really?
That'll hopefully make it all. Hopefully they'll
all fit on another
CD.
Will you write a song every day or?
No, just a couple every month or so.
Do you want to pick one, David?
Oh, sure. Let's see here.
By the way, if people want to call in and request something in the last few minutes, we have a call. The number here is 427-3772, and there is somebody calling right now.
Just another long line of programmers wanting to speak to David. Hi, David.
Hey.
This is V-Man. Good to hear you.
Hey, V-Man. How's it going?
Good. I just had a quick question. I'm wondering, all these new songs you've written, if you've got any material about the current spate of economic stock options being plummeted, like Harkin Energy and Halliburton and WorldCom, Enron, anything on those topics?
I just got one that sort of like, yeah, one that makes mention of this, but nothing that like takes it on head on,
right.
Which I definitely want to write about that. Just haven't gotten around to it.
What are your your thoughts on Bush's proposal to crack down on corporate crime, and I'll listen on, off the air.
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Thanks, Colin.
It's absolutely hilarious, you know, because the guy is such a... he and all his brothers are such obvious corporate criminals. It's amazing that, you know, I mean, it's, it, you know, they're morally completely bankrupt. There's no way they can, you know, conceivably get people to believe anything they say unless, you know, I'd be impressed if they could get away with it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where things are going, but I think this is all pretty, pretty exciting. The failure of capitalism. Here, we'll do a. I'll do a song that makes mention of the situation. I wrote this after a speech by George Bush. It's my greatest inspiration. We want a safer country, and it's in God we trust. So we'll bomb you during Ramadan, turn your world into dust. But pull up on your bootstraps, stand on your own 2 feet, as we blow them off with cluster bombs disguised as something to eat. We stand for freedom and prosperity, so we'll bomb your schools and hospitals. Make sure you live in liberty, and all you evildoers, and your children and your wives, with our B-52s we'll show you how we value civilian lives. Give us your hungry, your restless, we'll show you democracy, a military trial, and detention indefinitely. We'll have homeland security, Thomas Ridge all hail. We may not find the terrorists, but we can throw the left in jail, and we will all be safe, and we shall have no fears. Once our retinas have been scanned, and all the walls have ears, and we're all in good hands. When the FBI is in the know, we're sure they'll look after us, just like they did with COINTELPRO. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. Facing anyone with box cutters, we'll say put up your dukes, as we spend $50 billion on bombers and nukes. We're a beacon of light, and just to make the point, we'll cut taxes on the rich and throw the poor into the joint. And we'll bail out the airlines, get out your green fedoras, and for all you laid off workers, we've got maquiladoras. Yes, capitalism will save us, for have you ever seen a more convincing proof than Enron in Argentina? So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue. The axis of evil, we'll bomb them down the skids. There will be no more terrorists once we kill their kids. People may starve and economies may crumble, but those folks will have to learn to be more humble and give us your money, debt repayments with aplomb, while we scour the map for a country left to bomb. And as another city falls on our sacred American soil, at least we've got our daisy cutters and that Alaskan oil. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue.
Thanks, David Robichs.
Thank you.
It's definitely a pleasure and a privilege to have you in here at Free Radio Santa Cruz studio today.
Great to be here at the premier free radio station in the country.
How about two more? Maybe? Huh? I have a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I have a favorite song.
What's that?
Pray for the Dead and Fight Like Hell for the Living.
Oh, sure. We'll do that.
And then maybe you could pick a final song from stuff that's you haven't don't have on CD.
You got it.
They bombed Philadelphia, killed women and children and men. It's an old story, we see it again and again. They shot into houses while people burned inside. So many have fought and so many good people have died. They murdered and put MOVE in prison. Now they're bringing more forces to bear. Are we gonna let them strap Mumia to the electric chair? Or will we pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living? Stand up on our feet or die in slavery. Is there somebody here whose life is not worth giving? Who's it gonna be if it isn't you and me? They killed Crazy Horse, drove his people onto the reserve. Killed children and buffalo, some lower power to serve. The people starved and they died behind the impassable walls. In teepees and churches, even ghost dancers would fall. Now from Columbia to Big Mountain, relocation is rearing its head. Will we turn our backs or recall what the good woman said? Will we pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living? Is there somebody here whose life is not worth giving? Who's it gonna be if it isn't you and me? They poison the water, they poison the air and the earth. Who here believes that the dollar is all that our planet is worth? They cut down the forests, they cut down the mountains, and anything else they can take. What a cynical greed to do business, knowing all life is at stake. Now as they destroy all that remains, who here will part with the last? Will we raise our voice to the madness? Rise up, lock down, stand fast. Will we pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living? Stand up on our feet or die in slavery. Is there somebody here whose life is not worth giving? Who's it gonna be if it isn't you and me? From Manila to Managua, how many have died in our name? From Santiago to Santo Domingo, it is a murderous game. From Baghdad to Belgrade, mass slaughter from 10,000 feet. But from Hanoi to Havana, there is talk of the Tigers' defeat. Now will we wait for the next time to kill kids on some faraway shore? Or will we throw a wrench in the gears as we shout no mas no more? Will we pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living? Stand up on our feet or die in slavery? Is there somebody here whose life is not worth living? Who's it gonna be if it isn't you and me? Will we pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living? Stand up on our feet or die in slavery? Is there somebody here whose life is not worth giving? Who's it gonna be if it isn't you and me? Who's it gonna be if it isn't you and me?
Do you ever get tired of playing songs that you've played for years, David?
No. No, not really.
No.
Except the ones I forget. I guess the ones I forget, I sort of, you know, I guess it's kind of convenient to forget some of them because I don't play them anymore. But usually they're not the ones that I ever got tired of. They're the ones that I never really liked that much in the first place.
So you don't have a song on the death penalty, do you? I noticed you mentioned Mumia in the song. And
yeah, not specifically about the death penalty. Yeah. I mean, Steve Earle has so many great ones that I figured, well, I'll just let him write those ones.
Mm-hmm. What are your feelings on the death penalty?
I think it's a terrible idea. I'm against the death penalty in general. I don't think anybody should be executed, actually. I mean, I think, yeah, for anybody to take that kind of, I mean, which is not to say that in a you know, armed struggle type situation, people are going to get summarily executed in terms of like fighting and that kind of thing. But I'm not necessarily a pacifist. I don't think that armed struggle has no place. I think that it's a complicated world, and sometimes things get violent. But I think that people, you know, premeditated murder is a different thing, and that's what the death penalty is. Certainly, clearly in the United States, it's a preposterous idea because so many innocent people have been killed. Even if you assume that because someone committed murder or whatever crime they committed, that they should be executed, which I think is a horrible Old Testament type of assumption. Even if you assume that, it still obviously shouldn't be happening here because, so many innocent people are on death row all the time. And,
over 100 have been exonerated. I think since like 70 the late
in
70s.
Illinois alone or something like that. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So you want to end on something that's not on one of your CDs?
Sure.
You want to pick something?
Yeah, I'll do a debut another song. Somebody will hold these lyrics for me.
Again, you're tuned to 96.3 Freak Radio Santa Cruz, and we're listening to David Rovix live in the studio.
When I say the hungry should have food, I speak for many. When I say no one should have seven homes, while some don't have any. Though I may find myself stranded in some strange place with naught but a vapid stare, I remember the world and I know we are everywhere. When I say the time for the rich it will come, let me count the ways. Victories are hints of the future. Havana, Caracas, Chiapas, Buenos Aires. How many people are wanting and waiting and fighting for their share? They hide in their ivory towers. We are everywhere. religions and prisons and races, borders and nations, FBI agents and congressmen, corporate radio stations. They try to keep us apart, but we find each other, and the rulers are always aware that they're a tiny minority. We are everywhere. With every bomb that they drop, every home they destroy, every land they invade, comes a new generation from under the rubble saying, we are not afraid. They will pretend we are few, but with each child that a billion mothers bear, comes the next demonstration that we are everywhere. We are everywhere. We are everywhere.
A new song from David Rovix, not even on CD.
Not even on MP3.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, George, for your time today.
Thank you.
And it is, Bob, just really rare to, I think it's really rare to hear musicians speaking out the way you do and like really putting, it seems like most of the songs that you write have, you know, political commentary. And that's very, very unusual, I think. And I appreciate it a lot.
Thanks.
Not to mention that.
It's weird how unusual it is, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like there's so much going on in the world other than people's relationships with their lovers, which is the only acceptable thing to write about these days, it seems, as far as the commercial radio is concerned. But I think there's lots of people writing this stuff. It's just that it's only stations like Free Radio Santa Cruz that are actually playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta look
around. Searching for it.
Yeah.
So, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.